There's a little area here. All the kids will sit up and listen tonight. I know that it can be easy to get a little antsy, but all the kids kind of right back here, I want you looking right this way. All right, I'm kind of just seeing a little bit of antsiness and so forth. So I'd ask you to just sit right up, look this way. I want to help you. You know, I'll be honest with you. I wish I could say that my sermon preparation was always about an hour, but it always takes me 3 or more hours. I don't know. It just does. And it's important to me. Sometimes I'm not the most eloquent guy, but that's why I need every distraction kind of settled so I can help you. And I that's my desire as your pastor. I love you and I love you kids. And I want you to just sit up and I hope that we can help you. That's my goal as your preacher. Okay. Before we get right into it, anybody have a good word for the Lord tonight? Anybody at all? Good testimony, something the Lord's done. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Anybody at all? Okay. No, yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, amen. Amen. That's exciting. Hey, we got to train the next generation. We've been talking a lot about that, and that's exciting to see. And I know that maybe it's a little stuffy. I think they're adjusting the temperature a little bit. I know it seems a little warm. Anybody too hot tonight? Okay, there's quite a few here, so I guess if we can adjust that. Anybody too cold? Everybody just right? Okay, all right, okay, just checking. All right, but anybody else? Good word for the Lord before we get into it. Anybody? Yes, sir.
I just want to say what a blessing it was to be able to, in our church, we were used to going out every Saturday morning and being able to do bus call. I just want to say what a blessing it was to continue in that.
Amen.
One of my biggest prayers when we moved here was to find a church that stood on the same grounds we stood on and believed in the bus ministry. And it was just such a blessing.
Yeah.
And, just a blessing.
Amen. It's a real blessing to have you folks, and just a joy. Good blessing to have everyone just involved and just be here. And I appreciate our church here. I'm testifying now. I just love you folks with all my heart, and I pray for you throughout the week. I don't know how much I just pour my heart into you. I just really appreciate you folks, and you've been so good to our family, and you've been sensitive to our family and our needs, and even the needs of my children. I know that I said it before, but when you move and different things, kind of in the middle of a school year like we did, I knew it was of the Lord that we had to move at that time. But this church has definitely been sensitive to the lives of my children, and I appreciate that very, very much. And I love you folks. I love this church. I love being pastor here, and very, very thrilled about we're going, and the direction we're going, and so forth. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
As many of you know, Joe, I have been praying and thinking about sending the girls to Christian school the next year, and we got accepted to with that.
Amen. So well, praise the Lord. That's awesome. Amen. That'll be exciting. Nothing like Christian education, I'll tell you. It's just great. So, anybody else? Anybody else? Yes, sir. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Good. Amen. That's good. We like to keep you around on the weekends, Brother Allen. That's for sure. Oh, good. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, take your Bibles. Turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We'll go ahead and read verses 10 through 15 of Luke chapter 8. We will read responsively. Luke chapter 8, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. I'll read, then you read, and so forth, right on down through to verse 15. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. 15 together. But that on good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you tonight, God. I pray, God, that you'll give me clarity to mind tonight, Lord. I pray you'd fall upon your servant, Father. I pray, God, that you just have preached what you'd want to preach here this evening. I pray, Lord, that you just open hearts. Just bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Luke chapter 8. Testing 1, 2. Okay, here we are. Luke chapter 8. Deal with the parable of the sower, verses 4 through 15, deal with the parable of the sower. There are many different kinds of people that we run across. We need to be sensitive to the needs of the lost, and we must not let one door slammed in our face keep us from losing sight of winning souls. You know, I got thinking, of course, last week I talked about the direction of our church last Sunday night and different things and the direction looking forward to head and so forth. And I got thinking, you know, we need to be a soul-winning church. We're commanded to be. Bottom line, we need to be, as bodies of this church, we need to be sensitive to lost souls. And I know that you get a door slammed in your face one time, it kind of takes the wind out of your sails. I know that. But the truth of the matter is, you know, my philosophy has always been, you get a door slammed in your face by just passing out a track and different things. You know what? My philosophy has always been, don't quit. You keep on going to the one that wants to hear, because there is one. There is somebody that wants to hear the word of God. There is somebody that wants to hear the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, the Bible says here, a sower went forth to sow the word of God. We are to be sowers. We are to go ahead and sow forth the word of God to a lost and dying world. You know, and as Christians, we also must not lose sight of our Christian growth. Oftentimes, if we're not careful, things will get in the way and stunt our growth, if you will. If we're not careful, things will kind of get in the way, if you will, get in our vision, if you will, or obstruct our vision for the way that God wants us to head and keep us from growing if we're not careful. They're the cares of this life, if you will, as we're going to talk about in just a moment, can sometimes disrupt the plan of God, or can sometimes disrupt the will of God. So the Bible here this evening talks about the four different grounds. I'm going to talk briefly on the first two, I think, maybe, but I'd like to go ahead and zoom in more on the last two this evening. Number one, the seed that fell by the wayside, verse number 12. Let me just read here a little bit. Verse number 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Yeah, that's the seed by the wayside. This ground represents the careless and indifferent hearer upon which the word of God makes no impression. Oh, oftentimes I know that we'll get folks come to church and they come unsaved. They don't know for sure that they have a home in heaven. But the truth of the matter is, the devil tries to go ahead and work on their heart to try to maybe put someone in front of them that's disruptive, maybe put during the sermon so that they can't hear. Boy, the devil likes to do that. And the devil can't even work in the church. You say, really? Yeah, he can't even work in the church. That's why I just for a moment got on the children. You know, because there might be someone sitting behind you that need to hear the unsearchable riches of Christ tonight. And because of disrupting and because of a little bit of noise, you know, they failed to hear. And that's exactly what the devil wants. Maybe it was a person that came, they were lost, they didn't know for sure they were going to heaven, but because of maybe a little disruption in the service, or because of a little bit of disruption here or there, whatever, something happened, and they didn't hear about the Word of God. They didn't hear what they needed to hear to go ahead and get saved. Hey, this is seed that has fell by the wayside. This ground represents the one that's an indifferent hearer, upon which the Word of God makes no impression. These people are those who fell by the wayside. The devil has taken the Word of God out of their hearts, and these people will not respond to the Word of God and make no profession whatsoever. Sometimes these people will go ahead and say, leave me alone. Sometimes these people will go ahead and, of course, as I mentioned before, slam the door in your face as you're trying to present the gospel. Sometimes these people will go ahead and say, I don't want to hear it. I'm going to go ahead and wait. These people even say, I've had these people go ahead and say, I'm not even saved and I'm not ready yet. I'm thinking of an illustration right now, a fellow by the name of Jim. And I think I've used this illustration before, very familiar, but this is kind of a guy that he was careless and indifferent, but he knew that he had to be saved. A preacher went to a town to start a church. I just remember the story so clearly in my mind. And he was in Hiles Harrison College Chapel, and he was preaching how he started his church and different things. And remember, he's coming by a fellow by the name of Jim. And Jim was a single guy. He had a lot of things. He had a lot of possessions. He had a lot of. He had a good job. He had a thick pocketbook or wallet, if you will. He had the nice cars. He had like three vehicles. He had the four wheelers. He had the boats. He had it all. By the way, I'm not against possessions. It's a matter of how we handle them. Possessions is what I'm against. If we go ahead and have things, if you will, that keep us from hearing the Word of God, and if we have things that keep us from being with where God wants us to be, that's where possessions can be very dangerous. But here was this man by the name of Jim. He had heard the Word of God, and this preacher was out canvassing and knocking on doors and said, hey, Jim, if you're to die today, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? And he said no. This preacher just met him for the first time at the door. He gave him a tract, and this preacher was able to also go through the plan of salvation, went through the Word of God, sowed the Word of God, and even planted a deep seed there. But after the preacher went through and asked Jim, hey Jim, if you would like to know Christ as your Savior, bow your head right now and get saved. He says, I'm not ready right now. I'm not ready to go ahead and get saved right now. You know, and he told the preacher, he proceeded to tell the preacher, he says, you know what? I have three vehicles out there, brand new ones. He was kind of boasting, if you will. If you looked in his backyard, he had the toys of life. He had all these different things. He says, man, I have a job making a six-digit figure. I have all kinds of things. He's a single guy. He had a nice, beautiful home. And the truth of the matter is, he said, preacher, because of what he had, that lost focus upon the important thing. And he says, you know what? I'm not ready right now, preacher. I'm not ready right now. I do, however, thank you for stopping by, but I'm not ready right now. And the preacher, boy, he was heartbroken, but he says, now, Jim, I care about you. Do you mind if I follow up on you from time to time? He said, you know what, preacher, you're a nice guy. I'd love to have you follow up. And that preacher consistently on a weekly basis would stop by and just talk to Jim a little bit, howdy with him a little bit. And every time before he left, he says, Jim, are you ready to be saved? And Jim would say, no, I'm not ready to get saved right now. You know, life is too good right now, if you will. But and the preacher would go ahead and say, but life is so much better with Jesus. Jim, just because you get saved doesn't mean you have to get rid of your possessions. You get to just use your possessions for Jesus, that's all. But Jim would just go ahead and proceed and say, I'm not ready right now. And then week after week, the preacher would go by and knock on his doors. And before he'd leave, he'd say, Jim, are you ready? Are you ready to be saved? No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not, preacher. He would go ahead and keep on saying, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. And so anyways, to make a long story short, I'm very good at them kind of stories, but make a long story short, the preacher was in his office one day, and he got a phone call, and it was the hospital, and the doctor on the other side, are you Pastor so-and-so? He says, yes, sir. He says, do you know Jim so? I said, yes, sir. He says, well, we found this track in his wallet. We didn't really know who to connect to at this particular time. But I just want you to know that your friend Jim just wrapped himself around a tree. He was killed instantly. And that tore up Jim's heart, the preacher's heart. At that time, he sat down, he was at his office, and he just went ahead and he just put his hands in his face just like this and sobbed and wept uncontrollably because of the fact that he tried so hard. Jim had heard the word of God, but he was careless with what he heard. And the things of his life kind of kept him from going any further. All this preacher said is, I hope that somewhere along the way that he went ahead and took what he heard, and maybe somewhere in the quietness of his own heart, he got saved. But to this preacher's knowledge, Jim died, and he went to hell. This seed, this type of seed, talks about those that fell by the wayside. These people are the ones that say, I'm going to go ahead and wait. These people will not even, they know they're not saved, but they'll always say, I'm not ready yet. The number two seed, real quickly tonight, is sown on stony ground. They fell on the rock. Verse 13, the Bible says, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. This ground represents the ones that have heard the gospel. The Bible says that they have heard it with joy, but was not deeply rooted. They did not grow in the word of God, so they were not able to take root. The result, when the trials came and when the troubles came and the tribulations came, they quit. They said, you know what, if I'm going to be saved, it ought to be, you know, they thought that salvation was going to be a bed of roses. They thought that it was going to be a whole lot easier. They thought, I don't know who told them that, but the truth of the matter is, I wish I could tell you tonight that the Christian life was always going to be a mountaintop experience, that it was always going to be sweet, if you will. But it is sweet knowing Jesus. But let me tell you something. We will not always live on the mountaintop. We will not always be, we will once in a while be down here in the valley and have some struggles and some heartaches. Hey, you know what? The Christian life can be up and down, but let me tell you something, and I've said it time and time and time again. I thank God when I'm on the mountaintop, I have Jesus, and I thank God when I'm in the valley, I have Jesus. Jesus never leaves you. He never forsakes you, and I thank God for that. But you know what? This seed here that was sown was on stony ground. There was no root, and when the battles came and when the trials came, you know what? They were just tossed to and fro, so they went ahead and quit on God. They didn't want to grow any further. Maybe, you know, some people would go ahead and say that this is a type of seed that wasn't even saved. Some will go, I'm not dogmatic on that. I think maybe some of these may perhaps be saved, but they just didn't have the opportunity to grow. That's why, by the way, it's so important for discipleship. That's why it's so important. You know what? Yeah, we go, you know, and we Baptists, we have a tendency to do this, and we have a tendency to forget this, but the truth of the matter is, we go ahead and win them, we may go ahead and wed them, but we forget about teaching them. Okay? And the truth of the matter is, Matthew 28:19-20 says to go, baptize, but it doesn't stop there. It says to go ahead and teach them. And this might be that kind of crowd. I know some good men will go ahead and say, well, these are they that they didn't have a sincere heart when they got saved, and that's fine. I'm not sure if I'm going to be dogmatic there, but the truth is, bottom line is, we know they didn't take root, and when the trials came, they went ahead and quit on church. They went ahead and quit on the Christian life, and they just went ahead and fell back, if you will, and they didn't grow as they should. That's why it's so important, Christian, to be in the Word of God every day. That's why it's so important to get into a good Sunday school class. That's why it's so important to be grounded in the Word of God. Hey, this is the kind of ground, or this is the kind of seed they could not sustain. They could not go ahead and sustain the pressure. There was no root. They never got rooted, if you will, in the Word of God. Hey, that's the kind of ground that it is. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, the Bible says the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. Hey, you know what? They didn't know that. You know what? They had a seed just kind of got planted, if you will, on top of a very shallow rock, shallow soil on a rock. There was no deepness of earth, Matthew chapter 13 says. They never had a chance to get rooted. They never had a chance to grow and so forth. So they withered away. They passed away, if you will. But the word of our God shall stand forever. They didn't have the chance to get the knowledge of the word of God. They quit in time of trouble. They quit in time of heartache. Hey, you know what? If we're going to go ahead and stand the
trials and testings of life, we better be grounded in the truth, which is the Word of God. You know, the Bible says in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hey, you know what? That tells me that if I'm going to go ahead, even as a preacher that preaches the gospel, even as one that's been saved for many years, hey, you know what? If I'm going to go ahead and stand the winds blowing against me, if I'm going to go ahead and withstand the devil, if I'm going to go ahead and keep my armor on and keep it on tight, having done all to stand, as the Bible says in Ephesians, if I'm going to go ahead and stand strong, you know, I need to be girded about with truth, the Bible says. I need to go ahead and be absorbed with the truth of the Word of God. And these poor people, if you will, on stony places, they didn't have a chance to be rooted. And let me tell you something, folks, it's so important to be in church 3 times a week. It's so important to get into a Sunday school class. It's so important, not beyond the church, that on a Monday morning you read your Bible, on a Tuesday morning you read your Bible, on a Wednesday morning you read your Bible, on a Thursday morning you read your Bible, on a Friday morning you read your Bible, on a Saturday morning you read your Bible, and a Sunday morning you read your Bible. And it's so important. Why? So that you can go ahead and withstand the evil day. Why? So you can go ahead and withstand the trials that will come your way. But these were the people that were not rooted. They didn't know the Word of God. I'm talking about the Bible that stands forever, the Bible says. Hey, and if we're going to go ahead and stand the testings of times, we need to be grounded in the truth. If we're going to go ahead and stand, we need to remain standing on this forever book right here. You know, the Bible says it is a pure book. Hey, let me just say this. We have a pure book tonight. You know, I hold in my hand the only thing that's perfect to man. That's the King James Bible. Amen. Amen. Somebody better say amen. You know, the truth of the matter is, listen, this is the only perfect thing. This microphone will break. But you know what? The Word of God shall stand forever. It'll never pass away. That's what it says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. And you know, we have a pure word. The Bible says in Psalms 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace, purified 7 times. Verse 7 says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. He shall preserve them. He shall preserve them from this generation forever. Hey, we have a forever book right here. We have a perfect book right here. And it was written by the mighty hand of God. And you know, if God is so perfect, and we know he is, and this book was written by him, okay, through men of old, inspired by God. Oh, amen. But if we have a perfect God, we serve a perfect God like we say we do, then we have to have a perfect book. Amen. We have to have a perfect book. You know, the Bible says it's a pure word. And you know what? When God speaks, you know what? I happen to believe my God. Amen. I happen to believe when he says, you know what? You got a pure book. You got a perfect book. You got a forever book. You know, I happen to believe my God. Hey, you know, the Bible also says that it's not just pure, but we need an every word book. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. I said by every word, the Word of God, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Check it out later on. Every word, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We have to have an every word book. It has to be preserved. You know, he promised, a perfect God promised, I'll give you an every word book. And he promised that you get yourself absorbing the Word of God. And you know what? It was the perfect Word of God that gave me the truth. Because the truth that set me free from the world and from bondage. Hey, you know, I thank God. I thank God tonight for an every word book. I thank God for the Word of God. You know, who is truth? You know, the truth, if the truth is going to go ahead and make us free, as it says in John 8:32, who is truth? Jesus is. John 14:6, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, I just believe in truth. I believe in spreading the truth. You know, a sower went out to sow, and that sower went out and sowed the perfect Word of God. Some went ahead and were indifferent and said, I can wait. I don't need to be saved. Some went ahead. They had no deepness of earth. There was no root. And the truth of the matter is, the reason why they were tossed away or they're blown away in different things and they couldn't stand the test was simply they were not grounded in the truth. Hey, if we're going to make it as a Christian, if we're going to go ahead and have a kind of testimony as a Christian, you know, we need to be grounded in truth. That's why it's important to ground our kids in truth. Well, we need to ground our children in truth. Not only does the preacher, not only does the mama and daddy, but mama and daddy, we have a responsibility to ground our kids in truth. Amen. You know, that's why, you know what? Our textbook in Sunday school is the King James Bible. Our textbook for Faith Baptist Church is the King James Bible. Why? Because I want you to have the truth. I want to go ahead and stand for truth, and that's Jesus Christ. And he is the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hey, let me tell you something. We have a perfect, forever, pure, every word Bible tonight, and we need to stand for that. I'm not going to waver, and I've said it before, but I'll just go ahead and reiterate it again. We ain't changing from the Word of God, the Word of God. Why? Because I want to be truthful to you. I want to give you the truth. I want to give my kids the truth. That's why, when I took the pastorate, one of my biggest concerns was school. Oh, I was concerned. I'll admit it. And a lot of you know this. It's not a new story. I was concerned. I was assistant pastor for 10 years at a good church. And now I happen to be a pastor of a great church. Amen? Amen. It's okay. I can say that, all right? Not that my church isn't great. I love my church back home. It was great to be up there the other night and preach commencement and so forth and see some of the folks. But you know what? We have a great church here. But the truth is, but I was concerned. I said, man, I was part of a great church up there, a good church up there, and part of a good Christian school that taught the truth, the King James Bible. Every class started out with the Word of God. Every class presented the truth. And boy, let me tell you something. I said, Lord, I got to. Man, you got to help me here. I know that you want me to go down to faith, but man, I want to continue the truth in the lives of my kids. I don't want them to be taught a lie. I don't want them to be taught something different from what I believe. I want them to be taught the truth of the Word of God because Jesus, your truth. You say you're the truth and the life. And it was so very important to me to go ahead and make sure that my kids found a school that taught the King James Bible, that taught the truth of the Word of God. Hey, you know what? It's so important that I have the truth in my own home. Amen. The Bible. Talk about the King James Bible. Hey, listen tonight, folks. Listen tonight. You know what? We have an every word book. And we have to trust it. He gave us the only perfect book. Only perfect thing to man, it's right here. And I thank God that he's given us this book. Hey, you know what? Why was it that some of these people, you had the indifferent crowd. They didn't want to be saved. They heard the Word of God, but they didn't want to be saved. Then you had the crowd that was had some seeds tossed on stony places, if you will. And they weren't girded about in truth. They weren't grounded, so they just kind of disappeared. We have those that fell by the wayside and those that fell on the rock. And number three, the third seed sown here tonight is found in number 14. And they, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches, cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. You know, the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. The Bible says that we're supposed to be producers. We ought to be bearing fruit. We ought to be producing fruit. You know, the seed sown here was on thorny ground. This is a ground that we all must be very careful of. This is these are those that are genuinely saved but do not bear fruit. These are they who are saved but will not receive many awards in heaven. You know, I look forward, and I hope I can go ahead and stand true and stand strong. And that's my prayer every single day is just go ahead and lift up Christ's name. And it's all about Christ here and lift up Christ and be what God wants me to be all through my life from the very day until I die. And I look forward to one day when we face Jesus and one day we're going to. Amen. One of these days God's going to go ahead and say, son, go get my children. And one of these days he's going to go ahead and part them clouds and he's going to come back for his own. And I thank God for that. Amen. And what a feast we're going to have. Amen. Boy, I tell you what a feast. We're Baptists. You know, that's why we're just Baptists. Amen. But, and I'm telling you what, it's exciting. But the truth of the matter is, he's going to go ahead and say, son, go get my children. And one of these days, we're going to be caught up together with him in the clouds. And we're going to go ahead and face Jesus one day. But you know what? I hope and I pray that the works that I do, the only time that works are important is after salvation. You don't get saved by your works. The Bible's very clear about that. And I don't have time to go into it tonight. You're not saved by your works. You can't work hard enough to get to heaven. But But the truth of the matter is, you know what? By your fruits, and or by your works, if you will, I'm talking about the works that you do for God after salvation. That might be going to church. That might be winning people to Christ. That might be serving in the church and different things. You know what? And the Bible says you will be rewarded for that. And I hope, Lord willing, that I have truckloads. I can just go ahead and say, hey, back up the trucks. I have truckloads to go ahead and cast at Jesus' feet. I hope so. But you know what? These that are on thorny ground, they're the ones that they don't bear their fruit, if you will, and there may be just few rewards. You know, they're going to stand at Jesus' feet, and they're going to be kind of, well, Jesus, I got a set of keys. Whatever the case may be, it'll be very few rewards that can be given at Jesus' feet. Hey, you know, I want to be one that can go ahead and cast a lot of rewards at Jesus because of all he's done for me, and we all ought to desire that. Hey, these are they that do not bear fruit. These are they that are choked by the cares of this world. They got materialistic and never reap. That's why I said we need to be careful. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. Let me tell you something. We live in a very materialistic world. And again, I'm not picking on possessions tonight. I'm not picking on that kind of stuff tonight. And the truth of the matter is, if God's blessed you with money and a thick wallet and different things, boy, you ought to go ahead and use it for God. But the truth of the matter is, I'm not picking on possessions tonight. But let me tell you something. We need to be very careful. We need to stand our ground because we live in a very materialistic society, and if we're not careful, that could draw us away from being what God wants us to be. These are the kind of people that were planted on thorny ground. They were materialistic. They never reaped the fullest of blessings. These are the folks that represent those who are more interested in their job over church and service for God. They got wrapped up in friends. They got wrapped up into working on the house, maybe. They got wrapped up in their possessions or whatever it may be, and what happens, the cares of this life has literally gone ahead and choked them and brought them to a point of bearing no fruit. Hey, by your fruits ye shall know them. You know what? I tell you, you know, church was just no decision for us. We didn't have to get up. And I've illustrated this before. But, you know, I didn't have to get up on Sunday morning wondering, even before I was a preacher, wondering, am I going to church or not? No, it was already decided. It was already decided. You know, and I wasn't going to go ahead and let a job, if you will. I wasn't going to go ahead and let different things get in the way for my service for God. Even before I was preaching, you know, I wasn't going to go ahead and do that. I didn't want to go ahead and become a thorny, so to speak, Christian. I didn't want the cares of this life to go ahead and choke me from reaping benefits from God and reaping the fullest blessings from God. I didn't want to be choked by the cares of this world and the pleasures of this world. And don't get me wrong, if God goes ahead and blesses me with some money, thank you, Jesus, and I'll go ahead and I'll use that money for you. If God goes ahead and blesses me with a new car, thank you, Jesus, and I'll go ahead and use that for you. If God goes ahead and blesses me with a nice F-250 Ford pickup, amen. 1900 anymore, it's 2009 Ford pickup, then praise the Lord, Jesus. Park it right out there and I'll use it for you, I promise you. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? It doesn't matter how much I attain down here on earth, but it matters on how much I attain so that I can go ahead and give back to Jesus up in heaven one day. I don't want to be choked by this society. You know, even before I was preaching, I was teaching a Sunday school class. Amen. I decided, you know, I would work it out with my boss and say, listen, you know what? I could not go ahead. I'll admit, when I was working the world, I couldn't be in the service every service because of my work schedule. But I had Sundays off. Boy, that was important because I did work a bus route. I taught a Sunday school class even before I was preaching. It was very, very important to me and it ought to be important to us if we're going to go ahead and grow and be what God wants us to be. You know, and I didn't want to go ahead and have a testimony that would bring shame. Hey, you know what? I thought they were, you know, a few years ago, they were avid churchgoers. You know, boy, just like clockwork, they'd be up and they'd be going to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and even Wednesday after Wednesday, they'd have their Bibles, the girls would be all dressed, guys would be all dressed in different things, and they'd go ahead and go to church, and wow, now they're home on Sunday morning, getting ready for a barbecue. Now, I'm not against the barbecue either, but listen to me, we got our priorities out of whack. We'll start missing church because of a day at the beach. And if we're not careful, we're going to go this way if we're not careful. Or a barbecue on a warm Sunday afternoon, missing the evening service. I'm not opposed to these things again, but we can schedule around. We need to schedule around the house of God. Let's not be guilty of stealing God's time to satisfy ourselves. Amen. We ought now, God, you know what? This is God's time tonight. We're in God's house. And thank God for the freedom that we have to walk through them doors at 6 o'clock on a Sunday night and walk through them doors 9:45 on a Sunday morning and walk through them doors on a 6 o'clock, 6:30 Wednesday evening. Thank God for the freedoms that we have. Hey, you know what? We could be in communist China tonight. We could be meeting underground somewhere with a few precious people who long to hear the word of God. There was a day that America wanted to hear the word of God. There was a day that America stood on the principles of the word of God. There was a day when this Bible was lifted up. There was a day when churches would meet 3 times a week. Hey, you know what? As I said it last week, I thank God we're not going to have summer hours around here. There's no summer hours here. You know, boy, it disappoints me when I go ahead and drive by some churches and summer hours, Sunday morning from 9 to 10 or whatever the case may be. You know what? I said it before. I'll say it again. You say, preacher, you're an old-time preacher. Yes, I am. I'm a young man, amen. But I am an old-time preacher. I believe in the old paths. I believe in the old ways. I believe in being in church when the church doors are open. And so Sunday morning, guess what we'll be doing at 9:45? We're going to church. You know what? And since I'm already here at 9:45, I may as well stay for 10:45. Amen. And since, you know what, 6 o'clock, the church doors are open, you know what, we're going to just be right there in church. And guess what? Wednesday night, midweek, I get to come back to my friends and fellowship with my friends of the Lord and sit around the Word of God at 6:30 and hear it taught again. Amen. I thank God for them freedoms. I thank God that we have that tonight. Hey, we need to be very careful not to let the affairs of this world go ahead and choke us. Don't steal God's time to satisfy ourselves. It will affect you, and by the way, it will affect your family also. You know, your decisions will determine your destiny. The decisions you make, parent, will not just determine your destiny, but it will also determine the destiny of your children. Amen. Again, your children will do ultimately what you do. And by the way, it's generally even more so. You know, I'll park here a moment here. If they see a mama and daddy excited about church as they're growing up into your home, and by the way, we're to train up a child the way he should go. We're supposed to teach our children the Bible. Okay, the Bible teaches that. But you know, if they go ahead and they grow up, mama and daddy saved, if they grow up and they see you excited about going to church, you know what? It might just be that when they get adults, they'll be excited about church. And your little grandchildren, they'll be excited about church because your daughter or your son, they're excited about church. Why? Because you're excited. You were excited when they were young. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? Church shouldn't be just a decision. Well, should I go to church today or should I do this? Should I do this? You know what? Just decide, hey, we're going to church, and then you know what? Decision done. It's settled. Just get up, go to church, be in your place, and by the way, if you're excited about it, you'll excite your kids. If you're not, most likely when your kids get older, they'll have a nonchalant attitude about church. Well, you know, it wasn't really so important in my home, so I don't think I need to go every week when I get an adult. Hey, listen. Hey, you know what? Hey, we're supposed to be making wise the simple, as the Bible said, as we've been teaching. You know what? They're the next generation. If we're nonchalant about the Word of God, we're nonchalant about the things of God, if we're nonchalant and just weak on standards and all that stuff, you know what? Listen to me. It's no wonder that when down a few generations or so, that you know what? We're all watered down. There's nobody holding up putting forth the word of life. There's no one holding up the Bible. There's no one preaching, thus saith the Lord. It's no wonder. Listen to me. We're going to lose a generation if we don't get our stand back. We're going to lose a generation of young people if we don't go ahead and rise above the normal. And the normal today is just, well, we'll go to church. I'll read my Bible when I have to. I'll do this whenever. But the truth of the matter is, hey, you know what? We need families gather around the Word of God again. We need church doors to stay open all the time. We need to keep preaching, thus saith the Lord. We need to keep on winning the lost. We need to keep on preaching the gospel. We need to keep on going forward. We need to keep on starting new Sunday school classes. We need to, as we grow, start new bus routes. Hey, we need to keep on serving God and keep on going forward tonight. Amen. And we are not going to change. We need to read our Bible. It shouldn't be a big heart-wrenching decision. Well, do I read my Bible today? No. It ought to be a part of your life. You need to read your Bible. Why? Little eyes are watching you. And the priorities and decisions you make are going to be very important to them little eyes and how they may turn out. Don't get choked by the affairs of this world. Hey, that's why I said it's very important. That's why I said it's very important. You know what? Some people could be planted on good ground, as we'll talk about in a little while. But if we don't guard our heart, if we don't go ahead and stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, then it won't be long before we start kind of getting distracted from God, kind of looking over there and, oh, you know what? Well, that Sunday afternoon barbecue certainly looks good. You know, the beach on Sunday certainly looks good. Now, I'm not opposed to all these things, but the truth of the matter is, hey, what I'm trying to say, you know, we need to keep our priorities in order. You know, I planted a garden just a couple weeks ago. My goal, I hope, I don't have a green thumb, believe me, but my goal, I hope, is that it's going to bear vegetables. And if not cared for, the weeds are going to go ahead and choke the production. If I don't go ahead and water it like it should and make sure to take care of it, and as the plants are growing, I thank God. I look out there and those little green plants and stuff growing, praise the Lord. But if I don't go ahead and take care of the weeds as it grows and so forth, you know what? There's not going to be a whole lot of production there. And listen to me. If we're not careful to keep the weeds of the world out of our life, we're going to get choked. We're going to become overcome, and we'll become unproductive. And then next, and I'm through, talking about the seeds that fell on good ground. But that, verse number 50, but that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Good ground is a ground that absorbs the moisture when you water it, so that it may sustain a period of dryness from the sun. Good ground produces good fruit. Good ground are they that care for themselves spiritually. They read the word of God. They go to church. They're just in their place. They're planted on good ground. The sower went ahead and was very careful, and they tilled the ground up in different things and sowed the seed, and it was planted on good ground. Good ground will produce good fruit. Hey, what I'm saying, get planted on good. You know, you've been planted on good ground. You know what? I happen to believe tonight that we're preaching the perfect word of God. You know what? We're on good ground tonight. Amen. We've been planted. Someone went ahead and sowed the word of God in your heart, and we've got the Bible tonight. Hey, you know what? We need to stay planted on good ground. We don't need to get distracted by the things of the world and decide whether we're going to do right or do wrong. Hey, we need to stay planted on good ground. We need to read the word of God. We need to be an example to our kids by reading the Bible. We need to get involved in the ministry of a local church. Hey, you know what? Get involved. You know what will keep your heart tender? Just get involved in church. You know what? There's a lot of things to do around here. I mean, if you knew, I mean, I don't want to overwhelm you. If I went ahead and showed you the list of things I got for goals here in 08, you'd wonder, what in the world are we doing? Hey, you know what? I want to plant some good seeds on some good ground. That's what I'm doing. I want to go out there, win the lost to Christ the very best we can. I want to see us grow. I want to see us go forward. That's what I'm trying to do. And we need to remain planted on good ground. We must not get distracted. We need leaders in the home again. We need leaders, yes, in the church again, who will rise up and say, thus saith the Lord. We need good ground Christianity. It's a great place to be. Hey, parents, plant your kids the seed of the word of God so that they may flourish. Hey, good ground. Hey, the Bible says those are on good ground, which in an honest and good heart, they heard the word of God, and they didn't just hear it. They went ahead and kept the word of God, and they seized it, and they possessed it, and they claimed it. Now, you know what? Hey, we've heard it tonight, and we've seized it. We've got the word of God, and let's go ahead and hide it in our heart so that I might not sin against thee, and let's love the word of God. Let's read the word of God. Let's teach little boys and girls the word of God. Let's teach teenagers the word of God. Let's go ahead and proclaim the word of God to a lost and dying world, and let's go ahead and learn to love the word of God. And you know what? When you go ahead and you have heard it and you've gone ahead and kept it in your heart, now it's time to go ahead and bring forth more fruit. We need to be producing one another. We need to go ahead and plant some seeds. The sower went forth to sow the perfect word of God. And you know what? We need to do our part on knocking on some doors and going to the lost world and showing them the true riches of Christ and how they can be saved. Hey, we need to go ahead and spread it. Hey, we got it. We've got it. We've got the truth. Let's go spread it. Let's go tell the lost about Jesus. And let's stay planted on good ground. Let's not get wavering. Let's not get distracted. Let's stay on good ground. I thank God for those who sowed seed in my life. I thank God. Let me just say this, teenager. Let me just say this, young person. If you've had people invest in you, godly people invest in you, you ought to thank God for them. And adults alike, if you've had people invest in you all through the years, and you got here, so you got here by someone sowing a seed. Amen. You ought to thank God for them. I thank God for my godly parents. You know what? It wasn't a decision in our church whether we went in my home whether we went to church or not. I thank God for godly parents. I thank God for godly teachers from a good, solid Christian school. I thank God for the godly instructors that I had at Howells Anderson College to teach me and train me for the ministry. I thank God for godly preachers. I'm talking about my preacher, Pastor Christner. I'm talking about Brother Hiles. I'm talking about Lee Robertson's. I'm talking about the Tom Malones and the Kyle Hatches and the Jack Scops and others. I thank God for the messages that I've heard so far. And I thank God for this sacrifice in planting and sowing seed. And let me tell you something tonight. I'm willing to step up and sacrifice and continue to sow seed. It's not very popular. I know it isn't. You know, I know it's not very popular to even preach this way. It's not very popular. I know it isn't. I'm not in a popularity contest. I'm not looking for huge amount of numbers by playing some sort of worldly music and changing my Bible and different. I'm not looking for that. I'm not in some popularity contest. You know what? If we're going to grow, it's going to be growing by God's way. If we're going to go forward, it's going to be going forward by God's way. Not my agenda. It's what God has laid on my heart from His Word. That's what we're going to do. Boy, I thank God for those who have sowed in my life. I wouldn't be here today. When I think about it, I wouldn't be here today. Had I gone ahead and just decided to rebel as a teenager, and yeah, I had a period of rebellion. And you know, I remember when I had that little period of rebellion in my life, you know, I'll never forget this. I'll never forget these little visits. When I had a period of rebellion in my life, I had a pastor named Pastor Rebert, one of the most happiest fellows in the world. But when I had a period of rebellion in my life, you know what? This pastor, literally, he never gave up on me. Never. He would stop by, and I know that my parents bore their hearts, pray for Sean, preacher, and so forth. And you know, he's going through a streak here and different things. And I'll never forget the times, countless times. He'd just swing by the farm. I'd happen to be home. And he'd say, Sean, let's go out for an ice cream. You know, and I thank God that I knew had enough sense. He was the man of God. And I didn't go ahead and say, no, I'm not going to go with you. And, you know, I didn't do that. I said, okay, I'll go. You know, I remember the little chats that we had. I remember the things that he said to me and different things. I mean, the encouragement. You know, he never gave up on me. Let me tell you something, that stayed my heart to this day. And you know, I've always said this, and he's a good man, and he's pastored. He's been in that same church for, oh man, almost 30 years. Started it from scratch. And I thank God. And I've always said, I said, you know what, if I ever pastor, I want to be a little bit like him. Not a lot, you know, none of us are all alike, but I want to have that kind of heart. I don't want to be one that just gives up on a teenager. I don't want to be known as the kind of pastor that gives up on a kid. I don't want to be known as the kind of pastor that just gives up on a family. I'm sure I've failed through the years, but the truth of the matter is, I want to be sensitive to those that are hurting. I always want to do my best to be there for them. I thank God for those who sowed in my life and planted me, if you will, on some good ground. Hey, let's remain planted. Let's stay focused. Oh, the cares of this world can obstruct our vision if we're not careful. I talked briefly about those that fell by the wayside, those that have heard it, but they just said, no, I'm not going to get saved. Then I talked about those that fell upon the rock, if you will, that didn't have much deepness. There was no root, and they didn't have the Word of God. We went through a little lesson there. They didn't have the Word of God deeply planted in their soul, so they quit when the trials came. But I focused on just a few minutes on the thorny ground, on those who get so wrapped up in their life and their things and whatever, the things of the world. And the truth of the matter is, let me just say this. You can't take them things with you. But you know what? You can take every lost soul that you attempt to win to Christ with you. You can take the lost souls that God has allowed you to go ahead and win, and one day you're going to go ahead and see them in heaven. I mean, if this is all we're shooting for is making the big buck and trying to make all the money in the world, and again, I'm not opposed to having a little bit of money in your pocket, but the truth of the matter is, if that's all we're living for, you know what? We got our priorities kind of out of whack. You know, but the truth of the matter is, I'm talking about those souls with whom we can touch, with whom we can go ahead and teach the Word of God. You know what? We can take them with us. Won't it be glorious? I'll be excited. You know, I'll be excited to go ahead and be up in heaven one day and see those that God has allowed me to touch along the way on this side of heaven. I'll be very excited about that. And that's something that we ought to look forward to. But you know, I talked about those who are on thorny ground, who got choked by the affairs or the cares or the riches of this world. And then those that are on good ground. We've heard it, folks. You know, this is our evening crowd. Those that are, boy, you know, you're like clockwork. You're in your place. You're in the ministry. I mean, this is our Sunday evening crowd. We've heard it. And you've kept it. You've seized the Word of God. Now let's go ahead and spread it. Let's go forth with it. Let's go ahead and plant some seeds. Now, Heavenly Father, I sure do love you, and I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your Word. Lord, I wasn't quite sure where this message was going to go today. I'll be honest with you. You and I talked about this. But Lord, I thank you for your Word and how real it is. I thank you for allowing us to be planted on good ground. I pray, God, that you'll help us be sensitive in our Christian growth. I pray, Lord, that we won't get distracted by the cares of this world and have a tendency to go ahead and get choked by the cares of this world. I pray, God, that we'll just stay on the good ground and remain stronger and get planted deeper and grow for you and take what we've taught and go forth with it and plant the seeds. I pray, Father, that you'd bless. Bless this invitation now in Jesus' name. Now our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. I'm not sure where you are tonight. Maybe you're here today. This evening, maybe you are some of them seeds that fell by the wayside. You don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You know, don't leave this place without knowing Jesus as your Savior. You know, Jesus died for you. He loves you. God sent his only son, Jesus, to die on that cross. Why? To give you eternal life. Boy, we ought to be thankful for that. Don't be like that seed that's fell by the wayside. Hey, tonight, get planted in the Word of God. Have the Word of God sown in your heart and get saved. Maybe you're some of them seeds that fell by the wayside. Maybe you're some of them seeds that are planted on just very little dirt, on the rock, if you will, on stony places, and there's not a lot of deepness there, and you're ready to quit on God or what have you. Maybe you're here tonight and you're wrapped up in thorny ground and you're kind of involved in the cares of this world. Hey, wherever it is, why don't you allow God to go ahead and do a work tonight? Whatever it is, just you take the first step and don't linger. The music's going to play. Where are you tonight? What kind of ground are you on? Music's going to play. Go ahead. Where are you at tonight? Don't get choked up by the affairs of this world. Well, the devil would like to do that. He'd like to take good families and choke you and keep you from going forward. He'd like to take you and he'd like to destroy. How about you tonight? What decision you need to make? What ground are you on?